All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is Big Cuz Geek Stuff, episode 32, Five Teeth Shy.
You're right. What's wrong with you?
I had my five wisdom teeth out yesterday.
Five?
Five.
Aren't you only supposed to have four?
Well, when they took an x-ray of my face a couple weeks ago, they said, we have good news for you and bad news. The good news is that your four wisdom teeth are not impacted.
And?
The bad news is your fifth one is. So on the right side and the top, I had a mutant tooth.
Nice.
And they had to take it out.
So how are you going to use your mutant tooth to help save the cheerleader?
They took
it
out.
And in turn save the world.
They took it out.
Do you still have it?
I don't know.
Is it like a special tooth?
Uh-uh. They let me keep the other four, but they had to kind of bust that one up, I guess, to get it out.
Ew. Maybe they kept it and put it in a jar, and now they're going to clone it.
Ooh. That's what we need. Just more big Kevs running around.
Simpsons did it.
So is Thor a clone of Big Kev then?
Well, you're getting way ahead of yourself.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I'm going to start off then because since Matt's going to sashay us right into it. Not that this is news. At this point, but as you may or may not know, this is, we gotta put a...
Attention, the following information is considered spoiler material.
That's right, a spoiler alert, because this is potentially some spoiler info. Not if you're actually reading the book, it shouldn't be spoiler information, because it was like forever ago.
Right.
Civil War issue 5... came out today, which is Wednesday, November the
15th.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep up with the OxyContin. So,
is that what they gave you?
Yeah. Eesh. I'm feeling no pain. So it came out, pretty exciting issue. And one of the things that we started talking about right before we started the show here was that... Thor, that the Thor that returned in Civil War is a clone.
Okay.
It was DNA spliced by Reed Richards in some sort of cyber tech thing. So he's kind of a clone cyborg Hank Pym Reed Richards creation thing.
Okay. Ew.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Sure.
What happened to you cloning an army of dudes to do your bidding? Wasn't that always considered a bad thing? And if so, how is Reed Richards doing this?
He is Mr. Fantastic.
It is not a question of it being fantastic or not fantastic. I think it's a question of, this is just a really shitty book.
All right.
I mean, it's just... You have Reed Richards, who's got to be, well, he's got to be obviously one of the smartest guys mm-hmm. in the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. or whatever we're calling it, Marvel Universes.
Universi.
Universe. And he's been the pinnacle good guy, hero guy, and now he's cloning dudes to do the bidding of Tony Stark. Like, I want you to imagine this for a second.
All right, I'm imagining. Eyes closed.
Imagine if, let's say Baron Zemo, right? Just, I'm picking random dudes. Okay. Random smart dude, Baron Zemo. Let's say he's a smart dude.
Okay.
He takes another dude. Let's say, who's somebody that's, who's a bad guy that's tough?
Tough.
Yeah, like a real like superhero.
Doctor Doom's tough.
No, you're getting ahead because I'm going to get there. If Baron Zemo took DNA from Rhino and cloned it up with some robot, made some sort of Rhino cyborg.
You'd have Ultimate Rhino
for Doctor Doom,
right?
That would be like a real bad thing.
That goes against the church.
Well, it certainly does go against the church. But the point is, if they could do it with Thor, who's to stop them from doing it with anyone? And then Thor flat out kills a guy, Thorborg.
Right.
Oh, ooh. I'm cloning that. Thorborg.
You're cloning that?
I'm cloning it. No, I'm coining it.
I'm coining
since
it.
I can't speak.
Must be the Oxycontin.
Thorborg. I'm coining that right now. Thorborg.
All right, Rush.
The Thorborg killed a guy flat out, which is how the, I guess, Cap team knew it wasn't Thor or something like that.
Right.
It's been, first of all, Civil War 5 is late, so it's been a while since I read Civil War 4, and I have to go back and read it again. But just a quick recap. In Civil War 5, it seems that they're using a bunch of villains in something called the Thunderbolt Project as kind of these little S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. They're making them S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Spider-Man decides to defect. He wants off the team for whatever reason. Again, that must be another thing that I
missed.
Can't remember or missed. Or it's in one of the 55 books that accompany Civil War.
Right.
They send S.H.I.E.L.D. agent the Jester and S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Jack-O-Lantern to get Spidey. And then they're picked off by the Punisher and the Punisher. So it really kind of, they capture Daredevil at the end. I mean, it's really kind of beefing up. They keep indicating that there's going to be some final battle coming up that both sides know about. Is this the Jets and the Sharks? Is this West Side Story for superheroes? They know that this battle is coming. So Tony Stark and S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to use bad guys to bulk up their side of the... I have been saying really good stuff because there are parts of Civil War that were really good. Now it's so now going in the other direction that it's really starting to bug me.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the drugs.
I don't think so in this case.
Maybe it's the book.
Maybe it is the book.
Combination of the drugs and the book.
Right. Crazy drugs do not a shitty book make. Or something
no,
like that.
No, that's Marvel.
Oh, right. My bad.
Which, of course, they're trying to gear everything up because, as we know now, World War Hulk will be coming at us in a few short months. So we got to, you know, get this Civil War thing moving along here.
I'm about excited as World War Hulk as I am about, you know, Batman versus Osama bin Laden or the Al-Qaeda or
whatever
the hell. I mean, you know, Frank Miller's talking about it and he's, you know, because he's actively working on it. I think he said he's got 50 pages left to do in it. Are
you serious?
Like, oh, yeah, I'm very serious.
I thought that was a joke.
Oh, no. Frank Miller's working on it. He's doing the art and the writing for it. He's got about 50 pages left to draw, he said. And, you know.
Well, that rubs me the right way.
Does it?
Yeah. Who better, other than Wolverine, to go up against Osama bin Laden?
Let me ask you a question. Why does it bother you so much?
It just seems... I know we've had this discussion in the past, and I think it was even in regards to the book. It seems kind of ridiculous to me. You know, I go to comic books to kind of get away from all the other crap that's going on in this world. It's kind of like a fantasy thing. And I understand you want to tackle... you want to tackle current events in the comic book to keep them up to date. So maybe you have Batman fight some terrorists or whatever, but to actually have him go against Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden seems a bit far-fetched. Not to mention that the DC universe really kind of has its own universe. It's always been its own universe. It's Star City and Gotham and all this other stuff. It's not in Metropolis. It's not, you know, New York and San Francisco. It, you know, it's like, is Iraq somehow like near Gotham or something crazy?
But was it far-fetched when Captain America was fighting Adolf Hitler?
No, but again, I didn't necessarily approve of that either.
That's where I was going.
I know.
But at least the Marvel comics take place in our actual universe insofar as locations are concerned.
Wait, isn't there New York and Chicago in the DC universe?
Is there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess.
But then again, there's also Gotham and Metropolis.
And Star City and Metropolis and all these other places. So I don't know. Whatever. But it is Frank Miller, so I'm sure that I'll check it out.
It's a personal... You can make that personal decision to say, you know, Osama bin Laden, I don't want to see him going up against Batman. That's fine.
Yeah, I kind of go to these books for a getaway from having to watch the news and read the news every day. And having it interfere in my books or, you know, take place in my books just seems weird to me.
No, I don't agree with that because, like Fantastic's point before, he cut me off about Captain America and Adolf Hitler. I mean,
sure.
Everybody fought Hitler.
I know.
In the 40s.
I know.
I fought Hitler.
It's not even an issue of whether
it is personal for me
and reality come into comics. There's a level of that I think that is necessary.
But more on Frank Miller.
Why is Frank Miller a moron?
I didn't say moron. I didn't. Shut up, ass. It's the OxyContin talking.
You said.
Content. I know what I said.
What did he say, Fantastic?
A moron.
He said that moron Frank Miller.
I did not say
you
that.
You stooge. What else?
Frank Miller is also working on Sin City 2 and The Spirit. We knew that he was working on The Spirit because that was announced a couple months back. We also knew that he was working on Sin City 2, but it looks like there's a possibility that The Spirit might happen first, which kind of upsets me because I really want to see the follow-up to Sin City. I've heard that there were some problems with Sin City and it was delayed and stuff like that, but another movie steps in its path.
No, I agree. And you know what? Moreover than that is he has 300, which is coming first.
Well, 300, I think, is pretty much
done. What I'm saying is that it's kind of interesting to see that off of the popularity and the goodness that was the Sin City movie, Sin City 1.
Hell yes.
Frank is now getting the hand to move, so to speak, and 300's coming. And The Spirit, which I'm kind of excited to see what he's going to do with The Spirit because, and I know that I'm going to get bashed for this either on the forum at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or I'm sure I'll get comments via email, which you can do at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, that I'm not really a big fan of The Spirit. I've never been a really big fan of the character. They did a TV pilot. Mm-hmm. Which was awful, which didn't help it at all. And so I'm interested to see how he is going to take that type of... He's another pulpy kind of hero, you know, fedora, suit, and a mask. I mean, it's not really stretching, and it's certainly not dipping into the kind of world that we're in today with shows like Heroes and movies like Unbreakable.
Right.
And even films like Spider-Man and X-Men. I mean, he really fits none of those genres. At best, he's the Phantom or the Shadow. That kind of movie I see coming. But I can't imagine Frank Miller doing that kind of movie. So it's kind of...
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But Frank Miller definitely got the bug after Sin City 1. So I guess he's trying to get as much done as he can while he has the opportunity and the getting's good.
You mean before he goes full blown?
Yeah. Okay. Wasn't saying that.
Said he got the bug.
I mean, that bug.
The high five, the Henry Ford.
That's a serious bug, my friend. That's more than just a bug. Awful.
Just saying. It's the drugs.
It's the drugs. It really is. It's like a trippy, kind of crazy episode of Geek Stuff.
Are we recording this?
Yeah, I think so. That's the rumor.
Did you fall asleep over there for a while?
He might have.
I am on the OxyContin for pain.
There is an N in there.
Sorry. I wish I were on it for pain right now.
Yeah, really, right? So it would look like Paramount has pushed the release of Stardust from March to July.
It would look like that, would it?
It would.
Why is that?
Because they feel that it is strong enough to be a summer tentpole movie.
That's a gamble.
I don't know. They made this decision after seeing a rough cut of the film. I mean, it's got an all-star cast. It's based on a great story by Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman is really behind it as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he's approved pretty much all of it, except with one exception, I think. That was Terry Hatcher, which we know he didn't like, apparently.
Right.
And so I don't know. Maybe they feel it's strong. You know, there's a... July might be kind of safe, though, because I think some of the stronger films... Oh, no, actually. Well, maybe
July
not. I was going to say, because Spider-Man is May.
Mm-hmm.
Potter is May, I think, or June also.
I thought it was June.
But July is Transformers, and it might also be Pirates 3.
Hmm.
So July could be a very rough month. That could be very tough. But if Paramount has a lot of faith in it, then, you know, I got to trust them. I don't think they'd make a bad decision. You know, I don't think they'd push it if they didn't think that it was ready or worthy, which is exciting because, again, Stardust is a great piece. So I'd love to see it, or I can't wait to see it on the screen. I guess we could we can just give a quick little bit update on the Watchmen film, which is moving forward.
Ooh.
Full steam ahead with Zack Snyder directing the film.
Has it been greenlit now officially?
Yeah, I believe it has. Warner has greenlit it, and what Zach had said was that the key to finally unlocking a script at work was staying completely faithful to the original source material.
So Nixon,
not straying from. Yep, Nixon.
Nixon is president. And,
right.
Wow.
So I guess they figured the only way it would work was to not alter it. Which makes sense, really, with something like The Watchmen. Yet you have to be careful with something like
right.
that. So if you stay close to the source material and you really capture the feeling that it had on film, then you're bound to have a good movie.
And if we can cite a recent example, V for Vendetta.
Right.
Stayed very close to the source material. They did do some updating
mm-hmm.
Because politically it's... still relevant today, but even more so in some areas. And they just bolstered up some of the other areas that in the book they had kind of mentioned, but not really blew up.
Sure.
Which was interesting. Well, let me tell you, I have to say, and I have always said, a Watchmen film done correct with the right cast and the right feel and everything else could be the best comic book movie of all time. And it stands to reason that it could, because... The Watchmen comic, argued by many, including myself, is the best self-contained comic book story ever written.
Sure.
And if you're coming
off of
that... I
don't agree, but
that,
sure.
If you don't agree?
No, I like V better.
You thought V was a better comic?
I personally think V is just a better book. I enjoyed it more. I thought it was a better read than The Watchmen.
Really?
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. I like The Watchmen. I've read it. But I had to go back and reread it like 2 and 3 times for it to really kind of click, which isn't always a bad thing, but it took a lot out of me to do it. V, however, I was into and following 110% right from the get-go.
Right.
There were no slow points. There were no, you know, wait, what moments. I didn't feel the need to go back and reread it for any other reason other than... because it was a great story and I want to reread it.
Right.
With The Watchmen, I really had to kind of go at it a couple times before it okay. really clicked.
I just hope to God that they don't screw it up. I really hope they don't screw it up.
You ready for one of my bad segues?
Okay.
And speaking of fantastic films, Stan Lee said he's got an appearance in Fantastic Four 2.
Well, there's a big surprise. Is he the security guard again?
No, he actually says... in regards to his Fantastic Four 2 appearance, that they recreated a classic scene from the series that Jack Kirby had actually did. There was an issue where Jack Kirby had actually drawn Stan Lee and himself in the book, in the panel doing something, you know, very important, but Stan doesn't want to say what it is. And to be honest with you, I have no idea what it is. I wasn't reading FF that far back, or, you know, shoddily, you know, issues here and there. But he says that they replicate that scene very, very closely.
So he's not getting crushed by a pillar in the background
not.
In like in other movies?
No,
and stuff like that.
He's not going to be buying a hot dog on the beach yeah. or something awful. But
who's going to play Jack Kirby in the scene?
Yeah, well, he says, unfortunately, Jack couldn't be here to do it, but he comes in and do what we had done in the comic book. So I guess they've just taken the Jack Kirby portion of it out, just focused on Stan the Man. And
that's interesting.
Yeah. And apparently his role in Spider-Man 3 is very pivotal as well.
Really?
Yeah,
what a
he
life
says,
that guy leads, huh? What a life that guy leads.
Yeah, I tell you.
Hmm.
He says he's... He says something to Peter Parker, which is so profound and so meaningful, there won't be a dry eye in the place.
I know what it is.
With great power must come great responsibility.
Why you gotta jump? You gotta jump on my joke.
But he's already been told that.
No. Hold on a second. The two of you. You fucking did it once to me already tonight.
No,
you
know what? I wanted to be
on
your side for once,
and
you wouldn't have let me spoken at all. So I figured I'll say it, and then you back me up, brother.
Jumping right on my line. Because
you got my back. Ain't that right?
You're too slow. The drugs are making you slow.
No, screw you, slow.
I thought you had my back.
I said I was telling Fantastic I had a thing.
And I said me, and then you. I said you, covering fire.
And then you.
I'll make the run.
And then you.
Over my shoulder.
I put my hand up. I said, I know what it is.
Pin him down.
And then he goes, great power,
like
great responsibility.
See, kids,
ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
This is why you should just say no.
It has nothing to do with the drugs.
Say no
to
teeth.
With, has to do with
wow,
you two assholes jumping all over my shit.
Ew.
Yeah, that is kind of dirty.
Really. So, yeah.
Just have, you know, a couple comments make, and no, you got to jump on it, and you got to jump on it, and I get nothing.
And you feel robbed.
Sorry.
I'm sure you'll come up with something
but whatever.
Else.
There'll be something whatever. Witty in there eventually.
Finish your insightful news.
Well, I just wanted to say that some of you may have been fortunate enough in the past couple of days to see the Spider-Man trailer with the Venom sequence in it. The actual Venom sequence.
I saw that one. Oh. Kev, why don't you take it, though?
Yeah, well, let's see. Did you grab it?
The trailer itself?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I was unable to grab it. It was on YouTube.
Were there any images?
I did grab one of the images.
You did?
Yes.
Well, why haven't I seen it?
Because I don't have it. It's on my computer and not with me.
So it's on your computer
expired.
And not with you.
Right.
That's great. Well, I'm going to step back away from the mic now.
Somebody doesn't have Google.
So
here.
You...
No, we tried to find it. It's not
and
there.
And Fantastic... can discuss how great Venom looks, and I'll just be over here in the corner since I can't get a phone call or an email with a picture attached. I get broken links. I get links that don't work. You know, when I find stuff, I pull the image for myself, and then I send it off to the people I want to see the image. I don't just put stupid links. Oh, check this link out of this thing you know is going to get fucking yanked because they hate fucking leaks and shit. Oh, no, I'm not gonna grab the image. Oh, well, all right, I'll grab the image, but I'll fucking leave it at work because it'll do us a fucking lot of good there. Good.
So I don't really think it looks that good.
I kind of liked it.
I thought it was like plastic over his skin, and he was like ripping a plastic bag off.
No. That's not the sequence that I'm talking about. Did you see something different than what I saw?
No, I saw the same thing that you said.
Okay.
I checked my email immediately.
Okay, because what
I not have it expire.
Okay, because what I saw was, yeah, exactly. Because what I saw, or what I'm talking about, is not the scene where he's ripping the plastic or the costume off of him.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is that last 5 seconds of the trailer where you actually see Topher Grace in the Venom outfit crawling on the floor of the church.
Yeah,
and he's got the big eyes and the wide mouth with all the teeth and the tongue.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah, that does look good.
It looks kind of like Ultimate Venom. He's a little bit, he's not as bulky as first. He's kind of smaller, which leads me to believe that it's probably the first time he really gets it and he'll probably bulk up or go a little bit crazier. But I thought the look was really good. I'm impressed. But Sony has pulled all of the images and all of the links to the video. They've asked that have been taken down. So YouTube was forced to take the trailer down, which is where the trailer was posted. And the couple of sites that I knew that were hosting the image had it pulled as well. What I don't understand is this is the same trailer that they showed back at San Diego to a group of fans that had the ticket to go to the Spider-Man panel, right, where it was Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst and who are Sam Raimi, I think, was there. So they've seen this already. So it's why is it so huge that it leaked? People have seen it and are talking about it for months now. Let it out there.
Because 300 people in a room is not spoiling the promotional value of a trailer that would be shown to 30 million people.
Well, my opinion is that it's good time for them to put this trailer out there anyway.
They just put a trailer out.
Yeah, but Venom's not in it again.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, they need to put Venom in a trailer.
They're covering 2/3 of the story in the trailer that's out now. They're covering Peter and the black costume and Sandman.
Oh.
And they've left Venom and what's his name almost entirely out of that trailer. What's he in that trailer for, 2 seconds?
And Gwen Stacy also.
And Gwen Stacy.
Who's not even mentioned in any of the trailers, which is kind of odd.
One thing we should mention is that the trailer does confirm a speculation that we had earlier. Or at least they try to lead you in the direction saying that there is more information on your uncle's killer, and then immediately you're shown Sandman.
Sandman, yeah.
So what do you think
of
that?
No, you're incorrect, Fantastic.
No, I'm not. I
thought
yes,
you
see
are.
It.
They flat out say that Sandman is Uncle Ben's killer. They flat out say it, and they don't indicate. They flat out say it, and that is bullshit.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
This is going to be the one thing that I disagree with on this movie is that they're doing this bullshit again.
Unless
in Spider-Man 4 it'll be, well, actually, Sandman wasn't alone that day. He was with insert villain here.
I'd like to think that if Sam Raimi is doing it, he's got a good reason. And as much as I want to hate it and I want to be angry at it, because I am, I want to see what the finished product is.
It's perfectly obvious what the reason is.
Is it?
Yes.
What?
Clearly. Because what does the suit do? It magnifies and intensifies his dark side, which is all about... When you see him fighting Sandman, it's like, so what? And he's like, it doesn't mean anything. It wasn't mean to you. It means everything. It's totally... It's a reason for him to get fueled up and angry enough where he can lose himself when he's wearing the suit, because the anger, the dark side, if you will, if I may invoke the holy
trilogy?
Sextology or whatever it is.
No, we'll still call it a trilogy.
Anyway, the point is that hate leads to anger. No.
No.
Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Suffering.
What was the line? Isn't that how it goes?
I think it's fear leads to hate. A hate leads to anger. Anger leads to suffering.
It's the drugs.
That was another comedy line from those movies.
Point is that that's kind of what the suit is intensifying, is those feelings. And what possible thing could bring Peter Parker to the level of hate that it would need to turn him to the dark side? What could possibly?
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to wait and see.
Losing his job?
I want to say.
No, losing his job.
As a pizza delivery boy?
As a photographer? Oh, my God. I hate the world.
I'll tell you what could have done it. If they had brought in Gwen Stacy really, really strong and then killed Gwen Stacy off, that would have done it. I want to wait and see what happens when the movie comes out. We have a couple months left. We'll see what happens.
Fine. Upset. Yeah, I'm right.
That's it. That's all I have.
Stupid backwriting so that they can intensify the stupid suit.
That's all I have.
Well, you don't have anything else?
That's right.
Well, maybe I have something else. Can
Go
I
ahead.
Finish the
Contribute.
News? Can I finish the news now?
Sure.
Marvel Zombies versus the Army of Darkness.
I like it.
Ash versus the stupid Marvel Zombies.
That's why I like it. Because I don't like the Marvel Zombies, so anybody killing them is good. And B, because I like Ash, and anything Ash does is good. So, Ash good, Death of Marvel Zombies good, Ash versus the Marvel Zombies, good.
So, is it true that the Marvel Zombies thing was started in the Ultimate Fantastic Four?
I don't remember that, but I guess it's possible.
It says that the whole thing is set in motion in the final panels of Army of Darkness 13, and that leads directly into the crossover. The end of this story will lead right into the Ultimate Fantastic Four story arc that introduced the Marvel Zombies.
I didn't realize, first of all, I didn't realize the Marvel Zombies were an Ultimate story arc. So I guess I'm completely out of the loop. And secondly, who cares where it started? I think it's going to be fun. I don't think it's going to be great or groundbreaking, but I think it's going to be fun.
They're making such an effort to make sure that this story fits in to the continuity between the Army of Darkness comic and, I guess, the Marvel Universe or the Ultimate Verse or whatever.
Good.
Verse.
Good for them. They should do that.
I just can't stand to see these ridiculous things that they keep trying to push through at Marvel. Marvel Zombies. And not only that, it's really popular.
I know. Well, because zombies in general right now are very chic. They're very in.
I would love nothing better than to see another Ash movie. And, you know, the Army of Darkness comic is even entertaining. Mm-hmm. And always will be. That character is just entertaining. But to chuck him in with Marvel characters?
You know what? Again, like I said, if it's entertaining at this point, that's all I'm looking for. If I can get a couple of good laughs out of it and chuckle or two, then I'll be happy. So let's hope it at least delivers that, and then I have no issues with it.
So apparently the guy who's really the kind of the zombie king of the Marvel Zombies, Robert Kirkman, will mm-hmm. not be writing this series.
Okay.
It's actually going to be John Layman, who is handling the scripting and plotting. But Robert Kirkman is making sure that everything leading up, they're going to do a special Marvel Zombies Dead Days one-shot, which actually sets up this series with Ash in it.
Okay.
And the art will be Fabiano Neves. And the covers will be done by Art Suedum, however you pronounce it, who's been doing, I guess, the Marvel Zombie covers.
Huh. Okay.
Is it the drugs? Because I just don't...
No, I don't expect you to get that.
I don't understand.
Not that you're predictable, but that doesn't seem like something you'd be into or get.
I'm not like retarded or
anything. No, I don't think that you are.
It's just, there's so much nonsense. You know what it is? I think the drugs are opening my eyes. I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
Hey, wait a minute. You know what else? I think Marvel Legends is kind of shitty. There's hardly any Legends in there.
I think we need to take a break for a couple minutes. Let's take a quick break.
Why would they call it Legends?
While Kev rambles on in a drug-induced coma. But or drug-induced ramble, whatever it is. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
And what's with the DC Legends? It's the same. Why aren't they doing any new people? Why do they always stick with the same four people? And it's just...
Forgive me if I don't shake hands.
Hi, it's Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Isn't that a daisy?
And he really is big.
What an ugly thing to say.
Stay tuned.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
Thank you.
And we're back with Geek Stuff episode 32.
32.
How are you feeling over there?
Feeling great.
What the hell was that noise?
I'm really not quite sure. He really is out of it right now. I don't really think he's going to be able to contribute much more this episode.
I'll contribute just fine.
Did you see his aim when we were playing Gears of War?
He was all over the place. He was shooting at his foot, shooting at you.
I thought his controller was broken with that kind of drift.
He was playing so bad. He was playing like me. And I stink.
I was doing fine.
You know what? It's this whole... And I know, like, I'll throw myself under the bus. I'm fine with it. But I can't get this, like, dual thumb action thing going. Like, when I'm playing Halo, I try to shoot and aim, and, like, I'm shooting up. I'm shooting all crazy. I just can't get the mechanics down.
He'll play the fuck out of an Atari game. One button, one
word.
Stick.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem that a lot of people complain about in the current generation of games, and from first person shooters coming over from the computer, starting off with a mouse and keyboard. You know, the mouse is pretty intuitive. It's like point where you want to shoot. If you can't play that game, you really can't, you know, use Microsoft Word or go into Windows or anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people get the control pad with two analog sticks on each thumb in their hands, it does kind of become confusing for some of them.
And people keep saying, keep doing it. Practice makes perfect. You'll get there. I've been playing Halo since the first one came out, and I still can't fucking do it.
Well, that's just because you're inept. That has nothing to do with getting used to things.
Exactly. I'm just a goof, which is fine. But since we're talking about some video games, we did have the opportunity to at least sample Gears of War. Well, I sampled Gears of War. You played a little bit more than I did. Fantastic.
No, you know why he brought it to the studio? Because he wants to get me interested in enough that I'll go out and buy my own so that we can play online. And he won't let me borrow it for one night so that I can play it. Or he won't play it here with me in the mode that you can play with each other.
You just need to stop talking.
No, you know, he's right, but he's wrong. He's right in that I really want him to get it so he can play online, because this is one of the first games that has a co-op mode that's really executed well. There were some other games that have done it before,
right,
but this does it really well. It was actually designed with the co-op mode in mind. So whenever there's you know, something where you'll take two paths, one person will go in one way and one person will go in the other, whereas, you know, if you're playing single player, you only get to experience that one side. And this, right, you kind of get to choose, or they force the left or right path on you. And you know, you can kind of say, like, you can kind of see the other guy through, like, a grating sometimes. There's one part where you're in the sewer and the other guys are up above on the main street. And
all right, stop.
Get hold of yourself. But yeah, I do want him to get it so we can play this, because we can play co-op, because it does have a strong co-op component. So.
Right. Well, again, I really want to be into these games, but I just can't.
This is not even like Halo. Halo is, you know, you move with the left stick, you aim with the right, you fire with the right trigger, and all the other buttons are kind of incidental. This has a learning curve where you have to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to make a conscious decision that I have to take cover. Learn how to take cover in the game rather than just run around and shoot people, strafe in circles around them, try and get into melee attack.
They call that run-and-gun.
Well, yeah, but Halo does a little cover too, but they don't enforce it. In this, they enforce it. If you don't do it, you die, and there's no way around it. In the first page of the manual that comes with the game, one of the designers talks about when they were making the game, they made it in mind to be the inverse of Splinter Cell. It's supposed to be the inverse of Splinter Cell. So rather than sneaking around most of the time and then doing a little shooting, you're doing a lot of shooting and then sneaking around a little at a time. And it really keeps the action tense. It keeps the action going. When you're playing co-op or you're playing online, there's a lot of, you know, cover me, I'm running forward, I'm moving up, you know, do you see this guy? It really reminds you of a paintball, playing paintball. And that's, because it goes as far to say that. And it does it really well. It executes it really well. It ends up being a pretty good product. I've had a...
Well, aside from the fact that I'm unable to play, it looks beautiful.
You're unable?
Yeah, unable. Unable.
You're unable. Inept.
Whatever.
Yeah, it is. It runs on the Unreal 3 engine. So they've got that going on the Xbox 360, and it looks really good. You see that they've taken... an art style that's kind of like this monochrome style, which I'm not really that much of a fan of, but there's still a lot going on. There's a lot of detail in there. You can see when guys are running, you can see like individual buttons on the packs and ammo things. And you can see all the weapons modeled on the body. You know, if you have two weapons and a pistol, you see the, you know, the pistol on his thigh and the weapons in the back, and you see the grenades hanging off and things like that. So there's a lot of work and a lot of detail. So it's really immersive. But well, what did you think of the art style being mostly black and white?
I thought it looked really good, and I didn't think that the black and white detracted from it. I actually thought it kind of worked in with the feel of the game. The game kind of has this.
That game was in black and white because I was seeing all kinds of colors.
It really kind of has this kind of this urban setting, and it also is earth based, right? Mm-hmm. So, like the lack of bright colors and flashy colors. Really, I think works with it, actually. So it's okay. I accept it.
Yeah, it gives you this feeling of a really war-torn, ravaged world that's being invaded by these aliens that are popping up out of the ground. I mean, I'm assuming it's Earth. I haven't gotten into the game far enough for them to say that it's another planet.
Right.
I played maybe through like Act 2, I think it is, or so.
It seems like when they need to use the bright colors, they do well. I mean, like there's no doubt that the bright red from when you're, you know, bleeding to death is bright fucking right. You know what I mean? It's well placed where it is, but I think it looks great. I think the rendering is fantastic, and if I could play better, I'd be into it.
I like when you're playing in the co-op mode and you get shot, like your health goes all the way down.
Yeah.
And you actually don't necessarily die. You kind of get to that point where you can't really do anything, but your friend can come over and pick you back up.
Kind of like you right now.
Yeah. I'm guessing, though, that if you sit there long enough, you actually will die. Is that correct? Or in the co-op mode, you could hover in that state.
No. It seemed to me that the screen was getting more red as I lay there waiting for Fantastic to come and save me.
Right.
Kev plays like one of those guys. He runs out there and dies immediately. Then he's like, I'm dead. Come pick me up.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you do die if you wait around for a while and nobody comes over to revive you, which is probably something worth talking about. This really goes back to the old health system that was pioneered in Halo, in that, you know, you get hit a little and then you take cover to regenerate, to gain that health back. And they're not really, there's no number associated with it. There's no visual indicator of how much health you have until you're getting hit. Then it just gets redder and redder, and there's this emblem in the center of the screen. And when that emblem becomes completely red, you're dead.
It's not redder, it's more red.
Redder.
It's not redder, it's more red.
All right.
Look,
It's more red when you're playing.
I may be a little fucked up right now, but I at least know English.
English?
Okay. So... So that being said, it looks like a fun game. Probably should go grab it if you're into these types of games. And since we did talk about Halo, what's with the Halo news? Their trailers and stuff. I haven't seen anything.
Does Halo 3. I know. I can contribute here.
Hey, yo.
There was some sort of conference where a bunch of the guys who are working on Halo 3, I guess they had some kind of interview. Is that right, Fantastic? Some kind of article where they... Where they actually gave away some spoilers and things about the Halo 3 game that's coming out.
Oh, man.
It's Big Kev contributing.
Well.
Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, that's very good. That's close. A couple weeks ago, a magazine leaked some stuff that they were supposed to keep for an EGM exclusive.
Right.
But they printed in the magazine. It was some screenshots, some information about what's going to be in the actual game as far as, you know, types of weapons and things like that. A brute, I think it's called Spiker, is one of the weapons. And what they deem the man cannon.
Okay.
Which I take it to be like the opposite. Look at him looking at me.
Is that like the BFG?
No. The man cannon is like kind of like a catapult for people, I guess, that you hop in and it shoots you across the map. And, you know, you're flying kind of like the reverse drop pod. Like instead of going only down, you go up and then down to, you know, as a mode of quick transit across the map. But most recently, in an effort to defuse Sony's upcoming PlayStation release, Microsoft has announced that there's going to be, in the spring of 2007, a Halo 3 multiplayer beta available to fans on Xbox Live, and that is today that they released that. And so they're looking to say, you know, yeah, PlayStation 3 is great and it's expensive and you don't want it and because you want Halo.
Right.
They also announced that they're going to be coming out with some additional maps for Halo 2, which they said about a year and a half ago that they were not working on anymore. They're done. They're moved on to Halo 3. You'll never see new maps. So speculation now is that the maps will come over live. We don't know whether or not they're going to be premium or paid content or free.
Right.
But they will be available, according to today's report, for Xbox 360 only and not the original Xbox.
So wait, the Halo 3 demo is out now?
Yes, you can play the Halo 3 demo right now.
Really?
No.
I thought that's close. What you said.
No, they released the news on this day in history.
Oh, okay.
But it won't be available to play until the spring. And when is the date or the tentative date for the release of the actual game itself?
2007.
Okay.
Yeah.
So probably, to be determined.
Probably Christmas next year, I would guess.
Right.
If they're going to release a multiplayer demo in the spring,
right,
then it would stand to reason that it's probably going to be a holiday release, wouldn't you say?
I guess.
See, I could contribute just fine.
Well, since Xbox is releasing this demo in order to hopefully, take a little shot at least at the PlayStation release, we might as well bring up the fact that PlayStation or Sony, I guess, made the announcement or made a consumer report saying that not all of the PS2 and PS1 games will be fully backwards compatible with the PS3 upon its release.
Ha! I said that months and months ago when we talked about it. I said that it wouldn't be able to play everything. What? I'll find the clip.
I believe you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it happens whenever there is a backwards compatible system. There's always a short list of games usually that don't work, either for some reason that the game like physically doesn't fit in the console, like a Game Boy Advance game that goes in the bottom of a DS, which kind of messes up the motion detector on it. It flips things around. Or a disc-based system like PlayStation where the disc fits in there, but it's something in the game that just kind of messes up in, you know, the PlayStation 2. In this case, however, they're saying that there's 200 PlayStation and PlayStation 2 games that are not compatible.
That's a pretty big chunk of the library, no?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's a fraction of a large library, but still, that's a big chunk, and a lot of games are on there. I know that there's at least one Final Fantasy game that I've heard. There's a Gran Turismo is on there, and that's like, there are so many Gran Turismos out there. You can go to GameStop and buy it for like $1.
Right.
But still, there's a lot of people that are playing it because even though it's PlayStation 2, it has really good graphics. The gameplay is there for people who like racing games. I'm particularly not a fan, but it's a popular game.
Well, I know they said one of the Biohazard games has a problem as well. There's a problem with one of the guns in the game, so I guess
that's hilarious. It's like one gun in the game just doesn't fire.
It's one of the guns doesn't fire or something. Yeah.
Does it affect the Grand Theft Auto, very popular Grand Theft Auto series?
I don't know. I don't have the list in front of me, but the list apparently is readily available on Sony's website for PlayStation 3. Is that correct, Matt? That's what you heard too?
Correct. Yeah.
I haven't actually looked. I had somebody kind of rattle off a list of games for me.
Apparently I'm inept at searching the Sony PlayStation site as well, because I tried to find that list and I couldn't find it. So,
yeah, they make beautiful sites now for companies, but you can never find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So exactly. Xbox 360 has some games that don't work on it, but right out of the gate, they came and said it'll be backwards compatible, but only with the games that we program it to be backwards compatible for, and only if you have the hard drive, and only if you have, and only
right,
if
right,
you
right.
have. So, you know, there was less of a shock there when people, for instance, I can't play Morrowind, the Elder Scrolls 3
right.
on my Xbox 360, but I already knew that because it wasn't on the list. You know, when somebody goes to play a high-profile game like Gran Turismo in their PlayStation 3, and it's not on the list, that could piss some people off.
I have an update on our massive online project that we have going on, exploring the world of massive online games.
Alrighty.
I took a little detour this week.
Uh-oh. I'm afeared.
And after my experience with World of Warcraft and what was potentially my experience going to be with D&D, I decided to take a step backward. And I went over to Station.com, which is the home of Sony Online Games, and I did a little reading up about our old friend, Star Wars Galaxies.
Right.
And apparently, a lot of people are not very happy with the direction of the game since the flip.
Okay, we know that. It's not new.
But apparently also, they are taking steps to try to bring it back into the direction that it was beforehand.
Okay.
And I'm not exactly sure about how they're doing this. It doesn't seem to me that there's going to be a complete reverse flip in the sense of you're still going to have whatever it is, the 8 or 10 sort of basic professions.
Right.
But they're talking about now is that there's some sort of offshoots that you can do other things. And two of the things that they have mentioned as possibly making a return are creature handler,
okay,
and bioengineer.
Well, because bioengineer directly correlates to creature handler.
Ways. In the sense that they serve, you know, one serves the other. Sure. Yeah. Well, of course, it won't be called creature handler. I think it's called maybe
Beastmaster.
I think it is beast mastery or something like that.
Yes.
And I think I'm not sure about the bioengineer what that one is, but. The point of it is that you start to get the sense from reading that the people who are on there are kind of getting fed up, and Sony's response or Sony Lucas' response seems to be, well, we got to get maybe some of this old content that we got rid of. We kind of maybe got to get some of that back. That being said, I put a phone call in.
Okay.
To customer
support
for Star Wars Galaxies. And I said, Mr. Customer Support Man, I've been out of Galaxies for a while, and I'm considering
coming back,
signing back up, just to see what's going on. And, of course, the young man is all too eager. Well, if you'll give me this information and that, I'll be able to help you. And I said, slow down, Charlie. I'm just asking a few questions here. And he goes, okay. And I said, will I be able to get my character back? And his answer was, it's more likely that you'll be able to get the character back than not be able to get it back. In fact, there's only a very slim chance that you would not be able to get the character back, because apparently they have deleted, or Sony's policy is that they do not delete characters from their game.
Okay.
And this goes across the platform for, I guess, EverQuest is them too, and whoever, that they do not delete the characters, and that the characters are still there in some way or other. So Soup E DiGiorno may be able to be, or it seems likely will be able to be recovered should I choose to re-enter the galaxy far, far away.
The return of Soupy and Basil.
Now, that being said, I put in a phone call to Julio Torres.
Okay.
Who is, which is now up in the air, the producer of Star Wars Galaxies from LucasArts.
Okay.
And I'm trying to ascertain from the people I spoke to over there as to whether he's still in charge and whether we could get him to come on this show and talk to us about the state of Star Wars Galaxies. And about the state of, you know, the situation with it after the flip, where they're going, what they are experiencing since the flip. Because, you know, the indicators that we got, Matt, a long time ago were that upwards of 500,000 people dropped Star Wars Galaxies in the first week after the flip.
Right.
You got to figure if this guy still has a job, he must have some kind of plan.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the update. We're waiting to hear back from Sony to see if a representative will from Sony LucasArts will come back, will come on the show and update us on that situation.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess deep down inside, I hope and pray that in some capacity the game comes back to it. Even if it's a little bit like its old self, I might be interested in getting back into it, especially if Basil is still around somewhere on the Starsider server. If there is a Starsider server.
I mean, We might have to share a small Tatooine house for a while, but
it's all right.
I mean, we might be able to salvage the fun that we once had.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
What's Sony's relationship been in the past with the user community? Are they receptive? Do they just do things without consulting them at all, ignoring them? What's going on there?
I think it's been a mixture of both.
They were really good in the beginning with the first couple of releases and the first couple of updates. And then somewhere along the line, it started to fade. All of the praise, at least on the message boards, and I use the message boards for that game as a pretty good gauge of the community, because a lot of the players were posting there. They were posting on their server's message board, and they had guilds and guild boards and all this. So I was using that as a pretty good gauge, and I would go there and check it out. And there was a point in time where Sony stopped responding. And no matter how much they clamored for stuff, Sony seemed had a path set out that no matter what the fans said, they weren't going to address it. And it just kept on progressively getting worse until the flip.
I think they built to this flip. Right. I think initially it was Sony was responding directly to the fans. And then I think what happened after that is Sony decided to make one of the fans the representative. So then this guy, whose name I forget, was getting all the information and then passing it on to players of the game. So it's kind of like it takes the burden somewhat off of Sony and puts it on this dude who's just a player. So it's kind of, I don't know, Matt's accurate in that it just became very weird. And it seemed to be going like, wow, if you had a problem with something, you knew in relatively short order that problem was going to get cleared up. And while that never really ended, it just sort of slipped away with the coming of the online updates, which you bought and then you downloaded without having to buy a disc. That sort of customer care and worry about the community and listening to the community, like Matt said, seemed to kind of slip away when the money became involved, when it's like, we have to sell this new update. And they were exciting. Kashyyyk was a great update. Sure. Rage of the Wookiees was a great update. Gave you a whole planet full of stuff to do. It was fantastic. And we thought, and it was really, Trials of Obi-Wan also was fantastic in that respect. It was a whole planet. It was right out of the movies. It looked great. It had a lot of things to do on it. It was really a fantastic thing. And then
the flip.
You just felt completely betrayed because there was no warning. Like, it literally, what was the warning? Wasn't it like the day after Trials of Obi-Wan came out, on the update screen the next day is, we're flipping the game.
Yeah. Well, look, I think we're going to have to wait. Hopefully we can get someone from Sony on the horn.
Yeah.
And we could talk to them. We can see what the future of the game is. And see where it's going. Maybe it's taking a couple steps back. Maybe it's going to be some compromise between the two, but we'll have to see. They always kind of tease in these games how, their life in the game is better than the real life. And it seems like that's kind of, reality TV is kind of the same thing. The life in the reality TV is kind of better than your real day-to-day work. And I don't know, entertainment is becoming more and more, it's inclusive, surrounding, I don't know what, but I don't know.
Pervasive.
I think it sucks. And you're right, pervasive, but I think it sucks.
And you'll back me up here. Soupy had a way better life than I did. Soupy had a couple of homes.
Almost the same amount of pets, though, right?
He had some vehicles. Yeah. He had lots of fine pets. He had nice furnishings.
How was he with the women?
He had standing in the community.
He did.
Oh, he was great with the women.
Great with the women.
All right.
And so do I. So in that respect, we're similar. But
right.
I mean, you can see where these guys go on there and they make these relationships with other players that turn into real friendships or in some cases even more than that.
Right.
And it is very, pervasive, like I said. And I think, I think we're moving towards a whole, if I may invoke the great Star Trek, a holodeck kind of experience where you would go on the holodeck and say, okay, holodeck, I want to be in the book Lord of the Rings. And then suddenly you're somehow playing out some role in Lord of the Rings or something in that universe, and you're immersed in it. This is the same thing, except, you know, it's kind of, it's almost like the Pong version of right. that kind of technology.
Well, you know, we'll see. These games definitely are a part of our lifestyle now. I think that the audience is growing. It's not just gamers that are playing these games anymore, that more and more people are catching on and playing these games. And certainly as soon as we have some updates on some more of these games, probably particularly Galaxies in the near future, we'll definitely let you know.
And lastly, not to leave Nintendo by the wayside, Wii is also coming out soon.
It is.
Leave it by the Wii side.
You got it. And it's going to kick ass. That's all.
Well, wait. Now, don't just come in and drop a bomb like it's going to kick ass. Why do you think it's going to kick ass? I think it personally it's going to suck balls.
I know. I know that.
Why do you think it's going to kick ass?
Because, number one, it focuses on gameplay. Number two, I think it's going to be a social experience where a big TV like that, like yours, can be utilized to its fullest potential. I think there's going to be good single-player games on it, like Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess, which already is getting very good reviews. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised to hear that the Wii version is getting better reviews than the GameCube version. Now, there's a GameCube version and a Wii version. And one uses the controller. The other one uses the Wiimote and the Nunchuck controller in your offhand.
Is it really called the Wiimote?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Stop it. So it has a lot of potential. I just think that the price point that it's coming in at and the market that they're going for, I think it's $249 with...
Wow, so some almost, what, one-third the price of the good PS3.
I think that the Nintendo systems have always been more focused on gameplay than anything else.
I think you're right.
So we'll have to see. I want the Wii. That's the system that I'm looking forward to getting. Obviously not on Sunday.
I think if you take an informal poll, you'll find that most people will say, oh, I'm thinking about getting the new Nintendo that's coming out.
Yeah.
360's been out for a while. You know, it's selling steadily, but it's not rocking the house. PlayStation's coming out, and there's only going to be 400,000 at a very high price point.
Mm-hmm.
All of the companies are saying buy a Nintendo as your second system, including Sony, Microsoft, and clearly Nintendo. And I just think it has a lot of potential. So
I agree.
I'd like to see a little shakeup go on.
Too many cutesy games. It's two old school arcade style games, and I think we as a gaming culture have progressed beyond those kind of games. I think those games got to be relegated to children and people who haven't played games their whole life growing up, so that they can, when they get to their point, this point in their lives, in the older ages, that they can then take the skills that they have acquired playing these more simplistic, more arcade, old school arcade style games, and then apply those skills to more mature games, to more thinking games, games with strategy and not simply two-dimensional side-to-side fighting and
I disagree.
Pikachu. And...
Oh, man. You're saying that Street Fighter has no strategy in it.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Two-dimensional, side-to-side
You're right,
fighting.
But, and so what are you saying? You're saying that that game is as complex as Halo.
No, but I think Halo is not for everybody.
All right, I'm not saying it is for everybody, but what I am saying is that Street Fighter is for everybody.
How is Halo different from, say, a game like an old arcade game like Commando or Codename Viper or one of these games, other than the fact that it's in 3D and the graphics are beautiful?
Because there's a bit more strategy and thinking involved, and you're playing, in some cases, as part of a storyline. Tell me what the storyline was in Commando.
Who the hell knows? You're a commando.
Yeah, that's
but
the
point. But the point is, when you boil things down and go past that graphics and you go past the production value and things like that, I feel that most games are pretty much the same thing.
I disagree
entirely. This Gears of War that we just played?
I disagree entirely.
As much as it is novel to hide behind things and have that be a part of the game, built into the game, you're still hiding behind things in, say, Halo and every other first-person shooter out there.
Sure.
It's been a gradual progression. I don't think these things are just, you know...
You're thinking far too on the surface and not thinking deeply enough about it. In the sense that comparing Commando to Halo is really apples and oranges, because Commando, there's no immersion into Commando. You're stepping into a mature, very, very thought out and rendered complete world when you step into a game like Halo or what's the one on PC that's very popular? Half-Life. Or one of these type of games that you become fully immersed in, comparing it to a game like Commando or Zaxxon or any of those type of games is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, except for the fact that the skills that you learn with regards to hand and eye coordination as a young person, I played video games till my eyes bled, literally, and I know that the hand-eye skills that I acquired playing all those old-school arcade games certainly have helped me mature as a video gamer and does allow me to not run into problems like Matt with regards to sticks and buttons at every finger. And I, not blame, but I applaud those old games for giving me those abilities to take into these more mature games. I don't think Nintendo is offering anything that I've seen that is a mature, immersive game that allows you to make command decisions about what you're going to do. There is a certain open-endedness to Halo, which you can run around and do whatever you want to do. It may be a lot more limited than, say, a Grand Theft Auto, but there's certainly absolutely and utterly limitations to the bulk of Nintendo games. It is you go from this side of the screen to this side of the screen, and the screen keeps moving. That is the bulk and essence of the old school arcade games is what I'm saying.
Okay.
And I'm saying that they have not graduated largely away from that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying all Nintendo games are old school arcade games where it's just left and right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the skill set and the immersion quality of games that are released by Nintendo or for Nintendo tend to not be, to me, mature video games.
I think it's for, I don't know. Maybe the audience is different. Nintendo certainly has always been more... the games have always been a little bit more friendly than some of the other systems, but I don't think that detracts from them. I think the Nintendo games are just as good. I mean, Metroid Prime and those games, I think they're great as far as the immersion in the world and the abilities.
I think that you make a lot of good points. And one of the things that I really liked about Halo is the fact that there's a little bit of physics in it. You can pretty much go anywhere, sometimes to the point to its detriment where you're getting lost. You know, you can mess around with the AI. It's got that going for it. You know, you can kill your old soldiers and fight back as they try and kill you and yell, you know, remarks at you and whatnot. But you shouldn't be fooled just by the fact that something is dark doesn't necessarily mean it means it's mature. Because there are games like, say, most of the past Mario games, like Mario 64. You know, you probably couldn't just jump right into Mario 64 without having any other knowledge of video games at all. But there's a lot of young kids out there that the only games that they know are the current generation and the last generation and the upcoming generations of games. So they haven't had that slow, you know, gradual introduction to games.
Absolutely.
In two dimensions.
Which is what I said, which is why the Nintendo, Wii is the perfect machine for younger audiences. It's like the G machine. You know what I mean? It's like G, and then PlayStation 2, you're kind of coming up a little. You might get some PG, PG-13, the occasional R. And then you get up to Xbox, and you can get into really some mature themes in there. You playing stuff on Xbox like, what's that one that I play? Fantastic. The war one.
Give me some hints.
The war one.
Call
for
of 360? Duty.
Call of Duty for 360.
Yeah, Call of Duty 2.
That I would let my 9-year-old play that game, if I had a 9-year-old. Well, I probably do, but
would you be surprised to hear that there's Call of Duty for GameCube?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I bet it's not nearly as intensive and mature as the version for 360.
I'll take that bet.
Oh yeah, all right. Bring a GameCube by. Show me it on GameCube, and you tell me if it's as immersive. And, I mean, I'm talking about the controllers are shaking, and there's blood, and these characters, and you got little friends, and they're blowing up next to you. I don't think any of that happens in the Nintendo version.
Well, the GameCube controllers, GameCube controllers are similar to these new generation controllers. I mean, the buttons and the feel of them is similar.
They are Fisher-Price colored.
Are they?
Yeah.
The controllers?
Brightly colored, multicolored buttons that are bright, but other than that, it's the same game, man.
I don't believe that that's true. Certainly, but graphically, it's not the same.
I do appreciate a lot of your opinions.
Thank you.
On this matter.
That's all I mean to say. All I mean to say is that there is a certain, you can actually kind of classify, you know, these systems and what audience they're targeting. It's obvious that Xbox is not targeting your 7 to 11 year old gamer.
No, you're absolutely right there. The systems go, you know, they say we're going for the mass market, or we're going for the hardcore gamer, or we're going for children. And they've pretty much always done that in all generations.
And it just, I think it just has to get to a point where you have to say, at least for me, is it because I've been playing video games since Pong that I have to, say that I have matured along with video games to the point where I see the Nintendo games as inferior and not worth playing because they have this cutesy, clowny, pointed towards little kids kind of edge to them where they become largely unappealing to me. What was that one that you used to play all the time? The Ghostbusters one.
You talking about Luigi?
Luigi's Castle?
Luigi's
Castle?
Luigi's Mansion?
Luigi's Mansion.
That's it, for the GameCube.
Yeah, it was a GameCube launch title.
Yeah. I love that game. I still play it once in a while.
And then that's what I couldn't even stand to be in the room when that thing was on. Because, I mean, really, and seriously, the main character, Luigi, is just Mario! 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 I mean, it's just, you can see why they're doing it and the audience that they're targeting for it. You know what I mean? But it's not a horror game, and it's not a, I'm not saying it needs to be. It is what it is. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm so past, as a gamer, I'm so past that. You know what I mean? What, like, oh, I see, if I get the key from this room and open this door and slide this thing, then I can go through this door over here. I'm beyond that, to the point where I need to be concerned about my character's life and his health and what I can do to keep him alive and so on and so forth, and how I can get from point A to point B without dying. I become immersed in that way in these more mature games, and I have never played a Nintendo game that I felt remotely like that ever.
I'd like to end this on a positive note, in that I want to recommend a game to you. It's very inexpensive. It's available for GameCube. Do you have a GameCube?
No.
You can buy one for like $35. You can borrow Matt's GameCube. You can get yourself a WaveBird controller, sit here, turn on your surround sound, dim the lights, turn on your nice TV, and play Eternal Darkness. Will you do that for me?
Sure.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay, Eternal Darkness. Why will I enjoy it?
Eternal Darkness exhibits all the things that I think that you're looking for in a game. It just happens to be on Nintendo. And I concede to you that Nintendo doesn't go after that hardcore audience or that older audience, but they do produce games in that area. And not only that, they produce them well. This game is really good. And you know, not in terms of argument, I think you'll really like it.
Okay. All right, then I'll have to give that a shot.
There you go.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark.
No, stop it. Do it right.
This is Mr. Fantastic.
There you go.
Producer of Geek Stuff. Check out the home site at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com, where you can download each episode, check out image galleries, and drop us your comments each and every week. That's bigkevsgeekstuff.com. I fucking hate you guys.
Hey, this is Taimar Guardiello from the movie The Last Dragon, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 32, Five Teeth Jai.
One geek high
on OxyContin.
I don't think that either one of your little jokes is funny.
Me neither, but then again, I didn't write it.
You wouldn't know the meaning of funny right now, Kev. What's funny is you and that ridiculous hat and those headphones.
There's nothing wrong with my hat.
His brains are under that hat.
Well, that hat's kind of tiny, so that explains a lot. Wicked burn.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so tonight we talked about a couple of things that I really don't feel like recapping, but I'm going to anyway. Frank Miller working on The Spirit, working on Sin City 2, and Batman versus Osama. And out of all of those, Batman versus Osama, really the most disappointing.
I want to read it.
I know you can read it. Right. I don't have to want to read it.
I talked about Marvel Civil War issue 5 has finally come out, and it's just bringing up a whole bunch of issues that just seem to me like what seemed like it could be a promising book is now steadily turning in another direction, with Thor being a clone and the whole using of villains. It's a mess, and it seems like it's only going to get messier before World War Hulk messes everything up.
Well, hopefully for Paramount, Stardust will be a mess because they pushed it from March to July in order to make it one of their summer tentpole movies. They're putting a lot behind it. I think it's got great support from the cast and from Neil Gaiman himself. And I think it's going to live up to its, live up to its namesake. We also talked a little bit about Spidey 3. Stan Lee has his little cameo in it where he says something that's supposed to be so moving and so important that it's going to make you cry. Yuck. And in Fantastic Four, apparently he's rehashing some scene that was originally in the books that involved him and Jack Kirby, of course. Jack Kirby not around to be in the movie, so Stan the man and his huge ego head are going to be taking the role of both of them.
He does have a giant head.
He really does, a big ass head. And in addition to that, online this week leaked was the Spider-Man 3 trailer that was shown at San Diego, where we finally actually get to see Venom. The actual Venom, Topher Grace in the outfit. I think it looks badass. Sony naturally pulled both all the pictures associated with it, the video associated with it that was on YouTube. So unfortunately, if you missed out on it, tough.
Yeah, because it's not like they're going to be looking at it on this show or anything had somebody, lost it at work.
I do have the image saved, so we could try to pop it up somewhere and see what happens.
I also talked about what can only be called a very exciting project, Marvel Zombies versus the Army of Darkness, which is basically Ash versus the Marvel Universe. It's just another weird, crappy idea from a company making weird, crappy ideas a business. And I think, of course, everyone's going to read it because everyone loves Ash.
Hell yeah,
and
I'm excited.
Apparently there's a following for these Marvel zombies, which I don't understand.
Zombies are chic.
Yet another Marvel universe that's floating around out there. And that being said, I could really care less. I'm at this point, I'm just getting so sick to death of Marvel that I almost hope that I just overdose.
The way you're going, you might overdose.
And you come back as an undead.
Yeah, Marvel. Just an undead Marvel character. Like a real B character, too. Like Union Jack or somebody.
Now, Union Jack's way too cool for you.
Yeah, it's true. I'd have to come back like
Undead Puck.
Condiment King.
Ooh, Puck. Like Slapstick. You're going to come back as Undead Slapstick.
I like the Condiment King. Oh, that's DC, though.
Yeah. Tonight we also talked about some video game news, information, bits, whatever you want to call it. We had some updates in Star Wars Galaxies about them potentially making some small minor rollbacks, and hopefully we're going to get someone on the horn from Sony to talk about it. We talked about Gears of War, some of the gameplay, some of the things it introduces that makes really kind of sets it apart from some of these other first-person shooters in the past, like the duck and hide feature that's really built into the game that they're kind of really trying to push.
And then apparently I went into some sort of drug-induced rant about systems being different from each other, targeting different audiences, which, I don't know, to me sounded like a brilliant piece of tape.
It was absolute genius on this end.
See?
Well, I tend to disagree, but we're not going to get back into it now.
We also have a Halo 3 beta,
yes,
multiplayer online beta that fans will be able to play next spring. You can look forward to Halo 3 sometime in 2007.
I'm saying Christmas.
And you can also look forward to not being able to play some of your PS2 and PS1 games on the new upcoming super expensive, way shiny, easily scratched PlayStation 3.
Very good synopsis.
And that's all for episode
32.
What did we end up calling it?
One
Geek High. That's great. All pressure's on me.
Uh-huh.
Look forward to our very special episode, which is coming to you next Friday, November the 24th, called Episode 33, Black Friday. That's right. I'm going out on a limb there.
I'm not even going to say anything. This is all you now, drug boy.
Any promises Kevin makes while high cannot be taken seriously.
That's right. You put a disclaimer.
There you go. There's the disclaimer. And
Big Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah, we're rambling again.
It would be. This is funny. It would be something like the opinions of Big Kev are not necessarily those of the Big Kev Geek Stuff show.
This is a drug induced ramble.
And on that note, we cue the music. Is there anyone home? Come on, come on down.